Knights and Bites podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Knights and Bites podcast. Knights and Bites.
No song, cause I have a heart out. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. Holla, 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 players. It's the birthday boy toy, Hal Lublin, that's me. And I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation. Soon to join us, Princess Jella Kelk, Lindsay Kelk. I know she would have loved that. I'll say on her behalf, she loves that. And making his second appearance on Tights and Fights, singer, musician, and wrestling fanatic, James Derb, in your house too. Beware of Derb. Does that work for you?
That works. I love it.
James.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome back, man.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's wonderful to be back. It's like a second skin.
That's right. And you, since we spoke to you last, there was a lot of wrestling the last time we spoke to you every week.
Oh, God.
Now it has is it quintupled?
I love talking about wrestling. This is a lot of fucking wrestling.
It is a lot. So we got AEW. We got NXT. We got Raw and SmackDown, which I think are each 9 hours long. And we're going to talk about Wrestle Kingdom today, which was an extra 300 hours of wrestling that both you and I watched. But that aside, just with the general 90 hours of wrestling programming for a week, how are you like sort of measuring your consumption? Because I know you are a family man as well. You have children. You have your career. How do you balance it? And what do you watch? How do you make that choice?
I watch when my wife allows me to watch.
Have you tried to bring her in to wrestling? Have you tried to get her into it at all?
I have tried.
Yeah.
And I have failed every time.
So that if you're allotted a certain amount of time per week, how are you prioritizing? What are you digging right now?
Well, mostly I check like the dirt sheets. I just kind of read the results and then I'll go from there. If I want to actually see what happened, maybe I'll take a peek on YouTube at some highlights.
Sure.
I enjoy those highlight videos because you get to see a portion of the action without all the other crap. but yeah, I've been enjoying AEW.
Okay.
And anytime I tune into NXT, I enjoy it. I checked out NXT live event here in my hometown, Santa Cruz, California, about a month ago, and that was really cool. Raw is a clusterfuck. SmackDown keeps dropping the ball.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, but this is, you know, going online, so my opinion is what matters most.
Yes.
and this was my first time digging into New Japan, really. I mean, I've checked out a couple things here and there, but this is kind of the first time really going in head first. So it was enjoyable.
What was your awareness of New Japan? Like, to what level? I mean, I know you and I are both Jericho fans. You know Chris Jericho, I believe, and I do not. But enough to know, like, he's had a career there, so you might follow some of his stuff. What's your general awareness of New Japan been before we jump into Wrestle Kingdom?
As far as Chris Jericho goes, I am the stand-in friend of Jericho subbing in for Miss Danielle Radford. But sorry, Danielle, I've known him longer. We have shared dessert.
Yeah.
We have shared dessert.
Damn it.
We have shared several things. we have shared in the essence of Stevie Nicks and Rod Stewart at the Hollywood Bowl.
Wow.
We have shared the stage. We have shared dessert with Miz and Maryse. Every year for these Wrestle Kingdoms and the big events and when people switch over and going back and looking at the Bullet Club and the history of that with Fergal and AJ and Biz Kliz and all those guys. So my knowledge of New Japan is very limited, but I am aware of it.
Right. Well, we are going to discuss not WWE or AEW, because Lord knows there's enough of that. I think we sort of gleaned the major facts about it so far. The most important is Dessert with Jericho, which is a show that needs to happen. That is a streaming show that needs to happen. But we're going to talk about the biggest weekend in international wrestling, which is New Japan Pro Wrestling's Wrestle Kingdom 14. So they have broken up what was, I think, a marathon event into two separate nights. And one thing I've noticed, and I don't remember if we discussed it last time you were on, is that WrestleMania feels longer every year, to the point where mm-hmm. where you almost get the sense it might benefit from being broken up and having a Saturday and a Sunday show and having it broken up like that. How would you feel? Do you think WrestleMania is something that would work that way, or does it have to be one big night?
I'm not entirely sure. I mean, it's something that has been one night for so long.
Yeah, this was the first year it was two nights. And Hal, I wanted to say you are being very generous by calling WrestleMania one night. We know it is most of a morning and afternoon and then all of the night and then the part of the morning of the next day as well.
I'm not sure that the last WrestleMania is over yet. Let's be clear. But no, look, I know they do a whole weekend of programming, but the actual event of WrestleMania, where they say the pre-show is over, Booker T is not going to be doing commentary anymore for the day, to the end when the sun has set and the moon is out, which is what happens. Look it up, kids. Science. That is like a complete 5-6 hours. This was Wrestle Kingdom, I think, combined is 10 hours.
Yes.
I have Lindsay Kelk on the line. Thank goodness James and I don't have to answer this because we're not sure what the answer is. Lindsay, you're coming in hot.
Hi.
Right now. Hello.
You're hot.
You're on the line. We need to know. We're talking about Wrestle Kingdom being split up into 2 days. How long was the event when it was one night? Was it? It wasn't 10, because this was like 10 hours
between the two nights. Oh, it was 18 hours long. No, yeah. it was long. It was long. Because they do the pre-show thing now as well, because, you know, why not? I'm paying my ¥9.99 a month.
Yeah.
I want my pre-show. It was very long, so I was pleased with the splitting.
All right. Like any Wrestle Kingdom, there were a ton of matches, so we're just going to focus on a few of the big ones, starting with AEW's Jon Moxley beating Lance Archer for the IWGP U.S. Championship. It's 2020. Can we stop hitting people in the head with things? Can we stop? Can we stop?
We can, but they love hitting people in the head with things in AEW and in New Japan.
I know.
So if you were going to see it, this is where you were going to see it, unfortunately. I don't agree with it. I'm with you completely. But this is where they love doing that. Heads and necks. That's what they love in New Japan.
How do you feel about headshots, James? Do you feel like it's time for them to stop?
Yeah, I mean, there's other body parts. I mean, the head is a predominant feature of the human body.
True.
So it is kind of out there in the open. I mean, I'm fine with baking sheets, you know.
Yeah.
If you've ever taken a baking sheet to the head, you realize that, did I really just take a baking sheet to the head?
Because
you can't feel shit. Trash can lids, those are fine. I mean, thin aluminum things. The chairs that they use in Japan are like the little tiny plastic chairs.
Yeah.
I see where they're being a little bit more safe, if that's the word.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, there's some other body parts you can target. I mean, your brain is kind of leading the charge in the match. So if you're going to target an important part of the body, that's kind of the most important one. You take out the brain, you know, the match is pretty much yours.
Yeah, I'm going to use the stick to make you forget your strategy, and that is how I will beat you.
Maybe there's a reset button. Could we, like, poke with the kendo stick to find a reset button rather than, like, actual full system failure?
It's like it's like the Good Place. You put a finger on their nose.
The finger of doom.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's like a finger of doom rather than a chair to the face. I mean, there were a couple, and I didn't care for it.
Still an enjoyable match. I still liked it. I thought as it started, it felt like it was just going to be that sort of hyper violent stuff. I was like, all right, this is the match. People are going to bleed. This is where they would put in like the C4 and barbed wire if they were doing that. You know, if they were going to have that match, this feels like the place it would happen. But it didn't. And I appreciated that. I love how small their tables are. And I think in this match, they actually went through the logic of, we always keep tables under the ring in case ours get destroyed.
They did. They said that out loud, and it made me so pleased.
I love that.
Like, look at you. That's adorable. Thank you for this. Thank you for logic.
New Japan Pro Wrestling. Our tables aren't long, but they're thick. The ending, the big spot at the end. What's he calling his big lift DDT? What's it called now?
The paradigm shift.
No, it's another name.
They called it like the Dark Rider, didn't they, or something?
Oh, is that what it's like called in New Japan?
The Death Dark Rider.
Yeah.
It has a new name.
Now it has three names.
It had something else, but anyway, I mean, going back and looking at the replay, like Lance Archer only gets the edge. He gets his head through the center, and then his legs and the rest of his body just get caught up on the edge and the legs of the table.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. That just it made my like in between my toes hurt.
Yeah.
Just seeing that, like, just no. It looked great as far as wrestling goes, and as far as a great ending to the match. Yeah, it definitely had some spots and some moments, and I thought it was going to be a bloodbath, but I was pleasantly surprised that it wasn't.
Lindsay, I think the big question on my mind is, who's Lance Archer?
He's a guy. He's a guy that wrestles. He does wrestling.
Is he like a well-known guy? I mean, is he like an up-and-coming star?
Yeah, no, he's established. Okay. In the Indies and in Japan, like, he is well-known.
Great.
So when Moxley had to vacate his title because he couldn't fly out to New Japan because of the typhoons,
mm-hmm.
That's when Archer got the belt. So that was the whole point here, is like Moxley never lost his belt.
Right.
He had to vacate it because of weather. Because climate change is real.
Mm.
Ask John Moxley. It cost him a belt.
Right.
The poor baby.
Let's talk about two guys who look like they are a tag team wrestling each other, which is Will Ospreay losing to Hironomu Takahashi for the Junior Heavyweight Champions. Yeah. Hironomu? Is that right?
Hiromu. It's Hiromu.
Hiromu Takahashi. Yeah. See?
Man is silent.
I took Japanese for like a hot second in high school and forgot it all. Forgot it all.
I'm going to set you up with a Crunchyroll subscription that you're just going to watch subbed, so that'll brush you up on it. Right.
Oh, yeah, I'll be all caught up, I swear. Well, when I go on the New Japan World, I don't translate it to English. I'm just going to I'm going to immerse myself in that site, and I'll figure it out that way. Very good match. Were they a tag team at some point? Because I couldn't tell. Will Ospreay was the heel in this match. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been a storied relationship. Takahashi's been out with injury for a long time, so this was really his homecoming match, which was a huge deal. And he and Ospreay have had a long relationship through matches and on social media. For those who don't know, and I know a lot of people will know, Hiromu Takahashi has a delightful pet cat called Daryl. He is a stuffed cat, but he is real. He's Daryl. He's married to Carol, and they have a child, Daryl Jr. It's all true, Hal. It's all true.
I'm grateful for it.
Yeah. And then Ospreay, as we know, is a sex pig and has a stuffed pig. So the pig and Daryl have been friends, which is nice. But they're also great rivals because they bring out the best in each other, as we saw in this match.
So this is a we respect one another, but we're going to try to destroy one another kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Again, great match, like really great match. And it looks like Will Ospreay put on some weight? Did he bulk up?
He is definitely bulking. They're really pushing him as their new top, well, I guess one of their top gaijins. And he is definitely bulking up to fill that Kenny role.
Mm. He kind of looks like Finn Balor's cousin to me now.
Well, he's English. I mean, There's a Brit connection, although Finn's Irish, isn't he? But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're 23 and me, there's like a good chance.
they just get 90% the other, each one.
James, 90%
across the same pond.
Yeah. James, what did you think of this match?
I had seen Takahashi on there was this thing on YouTube that I had seen last year. I'm still not exactly sure what it was, but it was some sort of a tournament. There's just so much wrestling. God, there's so much wrestling.
So much.
I don't know what to call it. I loved him then, and it was cool to see him again. I thought it was a hell of a match.
Yeah.
And it definitely seemed like these two had a long history together. Just watching it and having no prior knowledge of either of them, it just seemed like they have this sort of that caused tension between the match. It's wonderful to watch wrestling and not necessarily even know what or who you're watching, but yet they tell the story so well that you understand everything. I love wrestling.
Yay.
This was one of my favorite matches to watch for that reason. Like, this is one that I would say if I had to ask someone to watch, if someone said to me, what match should I watch from Wrestle Kingdom knowing nothing? I feel like you could so easily watch this one and just fully enjoy it. I would love for everyone to stop throwing people on their neck. But given that Takahashi's just back from a neck injury, and given the spot that took Ospreay out of WrestleMania weekend last year with the neck spot, like, just stop dropping each other on your necks. I'm just that's like a word of advice from me to you. You know, like that's just a tip. Stop it.
You get one neck.
You get one. And they're so hard to find a donor one. Like, it's so hard.
That waiting list is super long.
Super long.
In the first of his major matches this weekend, Tetsuya Naito won back the Intercontinental Championship from Jay White. Here's the thing. I like all of these matches. I watched so many of them in such short order that they... Yeah. And because I don't know the storylines as well as Lindsay does, like, the most I can say is I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very good and a well-told story, and I cannot remember, it all blends into one match that happened. Like, you could keep changing angles, and the wrestler is different each time.
Well, that's because you don't know the players. That's
yes,
like...
it's on me, 100% on me. That's what I'm saying. Is like I the most I can say, unless I remember specific moments, is I really enjoyed the match. I just don't know the story behind it.
I always feel like it's like walking into a Shakespeare play halfway through and not having seen it from the start and not knowing the setup, especially with Japan, where it's like you don't know the actors, you don't know the storyline, and you might not be entirely familiar with all of the language that's being used. So yes. I always think it's akin to that. Like, it's like I'm walking into a Shakespeare's play. I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to let it wash over me. And if I'm enjoying it, awesome. And if I'm not, I'll leave. Which is the great thing, because I don't know if we've mentioned this, but there's a lot of wrestling to choose from. But no, I really loved it. I'm enjoying my Naito moment. I'm enjoying that. I love Jay White. I hated Jay White before. I really hated him. But now he's fully adopted his cartoon villain persona, complete with beard. Mm-hmm. I'm totally on board with Jay White. So yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was good.
James?
When I first seen Jay White last year, 2 years ago, I thought he looked like the singer from the 1975. And now he looks
Why
like a mixture
no
between like Snidely Whiplash and Charles Manson.
He would be so happy to hear that. Like, I feel like you just pinned down his essence.
So that was cool. It's interesting having seen this guy once or twice, because wasn't he the new leader of the Bullet Club at one
yes.
point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is he still?
He's still Bullet Club, yeah. I feel like Bullet Club's in flux.
Yeah, it's...
There's a lot going on with it. There's the Kenta of it. There's the G.O.D. of it. My cat just jumped on the computer. She's not in Bullet Club, but she could be.
And then Naito, when Naito first came out, I remember seeing Naito in a match with Jericho recently. Yes. Last year or in the last year. Mm-hmm. When he first came out, I was kind of confused. Is he a baseball player? Like a Mexican baseball player?
So he did spend a lot of time in Mexico. He has a Mexico thing going on. I cannot speak to his baseball heritage.
Because there was this whole video package and he's like on a baseball field and the baseball score, and then he comes out in a baseball hat and baseball, I don't know.
I prefer his Saturday Night Live look.
Okay.
No, honestly, if you guys are going to go to Mexico anytime soon, go see a baseball game. Some of the most fun you will have. Like, any sporting event that you can go to in Mexico is going to be some of the most fun that you can have on vacation, I promise you.
I will definitely do that next time I'm in Mexico. Last time I was in Mexico, I went to a lucha event at a Nissan dealership.
Nice.
What?
Did you walk away with a Nissan?
Yeah.
I didn't. I walked away with a hurt neck because they let us get in the ring. And the first thing I hurt was my neck.
I don't know if you've ever heard, but you only get one of those.
Yeah, that's right. Protect your neck.
I know a guy.
Finally, the main event of night one. That's right. This all happened in one night.
This is all night one. It was just the gift that kept on giving.
Okada beat somebody who has a lot of familiarity with the Bullet Club, and that is Kota Ibushi, to retain the world championship.
My main question is for you, Lindsay, because I'm wondering, like, I know you wanted your boy to, like, walk away with
yes,
that.
Yes, obviously
that
I was devastated. Yeah. My fallen elvish prince. Yeah, I mean, I was heartbroken for Ibushi, because obviously you go through the actual physical trauma of the G1, which he won, even though he got injured on the first night, and right. he still won. And then you don't win your match, which is heartbreaking. Because I really thought that Ibushi would, that Kota would win this, and then that he would go on to face Naito in night two. Obviously, that was not to be, as the way it played out. But no, this was a fantastic match. It was, the storytelling was amazing. They both went full throttle for each other. Kota went full dark Kota, full dark Ibushi, when he was just taking Okada's kicks and punches and just staring through him.
Yeah, it was great.
That was like such a powerful moment. They both brought everything they had. It really broke my heart that he could not win it.
Well,
it made
then
me really sad.
He came up with a goose egg on the weekend because he lost to Jay White on day two. But is it?
Ooh.
Does that make it difficult?
Who earns? No, because they're setting up for this partnership tag team thing with Tanahashi that we saw on New Year's Dash, which I know we're not going to talk about, but if anyone would like to talk to me about that, I'm on the internet all the time. So I think they're just pushing him into another role for a moment. It made sense. When we talk about Night 2, it'll make sense as to why he lost, and I think it makes sense as to why you have him lose to Jay White on Night 2, because they're pushing Jay White as this super heel.
You know,
I'm sad, but it's okay.
You mentioned you're on the internet, and we are too. So you can discuss all of this and more with us on our Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. The links to all those are on our show notes. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will jump into day two of Wrestle Kingdom 14. That's coming up on Tights and Fights.
Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott, and we host
Round Springfield.
Round Springfield is a new Simpsons podcast that is Simpsons adjacent. Mm-hmm. In its topic, we talk to Simpsons writers, directors, voiceover actors, you name it, about non-Simpsons things that they've done because, surprise, they're all extremely talented.
Absolutely. For example, David X. Cohen worked on The Simpsons, but then created a little show called Futurama.
Mm-hmm.
That's our very first episode.
Yeah.
So tune in for stuff like that with Yardley Smith, with Tim Long, with different writers and voice actors. It's going to be so much fun. And we are every other week on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by
Lizzie Kelp.
And
James Durbin.
Truth. I have a limited amount of time today. My contract is almost up like CM Punk, and I will leave here with that fucking belt. I want to talk about the unexpected match between Chris Jericho and Hiroshi Tanahashi. More specifically, always nice to see Jericho. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of all of his in-ring and wrestling work. But he's been very vocal in wanting New Japan and AEW to work together. And that is interesting to me because it generates, you know, AEW obviously has done well in the U.S., but maybe where it can compete with WWE the most is globally. And this could be the opportunity to sort of unlock that. And I'd be interested to see how a partnership like that would work because I don't think, you know, even WWE, the couple times they worked with different promotions that they had a relationship with, it never felt like a full-fledged partnership. Do you think now in the 20s that something like that would work?
I think it would be in both companies' best interests to find a way to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, in the past, New Japan have worked with Ring of Honor, and they've put on shows together in the US and shared talent.
Yeah.
There's obviously at least a crack in the door because they let Jericho wear his belt. They made it a part of the match. It was part of the match stipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Moxley win the US title. Now, he wasn't wearing the belt on AEW this week, I noticed. I think that would have been very interesting.
Yeah.
If he had come to AEW wearing his belt, because little optimistic Lindsay was sat there going like, oh my God, this is actually incredible. The New Japan US title would be the actual perfect secondary belt on AEW. But it's an interesting time for New Japan because they're not on US TV anymore. They've come off of Access. So the only way to watch it right now is via their portal. Not the Forbidden Portal, but New Japan World.
Or Facebook Portal.
God, that is the forbidden portal. I don't get. Don't listen to the Muppets, people. They've been got. Like, don't listen to the Muppets. Don't do it. It's literally like beaming all your conversations directly into Mark Zuckerberg's home. Like, don't do it. But yeah, I think it would be a really great thing to do. I think it will be baby steps, but mm-hmm. I think it would benefit both of them to do it. I really do.
It's weird. This past weekend, feels like a win-win. In that, that New Japan gets Jericho and Moxley for their show. Mm-hmm. But then on the other side, when you put the AEW title out there, you're getting a level of publicity that didn't really go back to AEW. I don't know. To me, somehow from a marketing perspective, it feels like AEW, not that there has to be a winner and a loser in a partnership like that, but it feels like they got more out of the deal for their brand long term than New Japan did, because the show could have been a great show without both of those guys. James, what do you think about that?
It's a slippery slope here, because you have two companies that don't necessarily need each other mm-hmm. at this point. And I mean, doing something more than just having AEW talent appear on a New Japan program. I mean, it's kind of like, what more can be done in a partnership other than that?
Right.
Cody did an interview with the New York Post, and he basically said that was like, both of our guys were successful. There is maybe a forbidden door, but it's opening and it's closing. It's opening and it's closing. And there's not really much more that they can do other than what they're already doing.
Yeah, I think it would be so helpful. It's so funny that we both like the idea of them working together, but are on different sides of the fence on whether it's helpful or not. I really think it is. I think with New Japan losing their US TV deal, if they want to break the US, which they say that they do, they're scheduling more tours, they're doing more events, they need to get eyes on their product that isn't just through their network, because right. that's super limited. I mean, I love AEW, but I think it would massively benefit from the talent and the experience that's on the New Japan roster. Would I go to an AEW event the first time it's in LA? Absolutely. Would I go to an AEW event again and again and again? I don't know. Would I go to an AEW event if they had Tanahashi show up? Absolutely. 100%.
All right. Well, I have to go, but let me say, I love you both. I love you too, Julian. I love all of you that listen. And whoever wished me a happy birthday yesterday, you're all off the hook. You already wished me a happy birthday. I appreciate it. And those of you who didn't, you have a lot of reflecting to do, because I'm out of here.
This is very exciting. This is the first time I've taken the reins. This is a big day, guys. So, like, let's all hold hands and make it through. We've got this. Me and James have got this. It's fine. So we skipped over most of the tag matches from the shows, but there is one that had a lot of weight to it that we really have to talk about. It is the supposed final match in the career of Jushin Thunder Liger. He teamed up with Naoki Sano. Naoki Sano, right? My Japanese is poor. But it was a losing effort, regardless, against Hiromu Tanahashi and Ryu Lee. What do you know, if anything, James, about Jushin Thunder Liger?
Of course, I've always heard the name. I've seen him pop up in different promotions throughout the last, 20 years that I've been watching wrestling and beyond. I know he's had like a storied career for almost 40 years, maybe. And I don't know. That's about it. Chris Jericho, going back to Jericho, playing a Super Liger in his brief stint in Japan. But I always have a lot of respect for the talent and the legacy talent that come in and do their final run and always putting over the young talent.
Yes.
I've always loved that. There's something really, really, I don't know if storybook is the right word, but fantasy about that. I think it's beautiful. I'm wondering if he has a say on, you know, which guys he wants to put over.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he did. I mean, there's such a massive, massive outpouring of respect for Liger, I think, everywhere. I'm sure he was able to choose his matches.
One thing that I think is kind of like cool about Liger, even if you don't know him, is the way that people talk about him. You know, it's like, it's always kind of cool to hear people kind of like, like sing the legend of like, oh my gosh, you should have seen how he's still having great matches after being here for like 25 years or however long he's been wrestling at this point.
He's been wrestling since the 80s. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
And most people, I guess if you're a relatively newer fan and you aren't sure where to go for Liger stuff, a solid place to start is that takeover where he took on Tyler Breeze in NXT.
Yes. Oh yeah.
It was literally a one-off where the advertisement was Jushin Thunder Liger is going to take on one of our up-and-comers. And yes, I know Tyler Breeze lost like he did a lot in NXT. But
I was going to say, that's not exactly a rarity, is it? Poor lamb. Yeah. Poor soul.
Wonderful match all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I was similar situation. I did not really know much about Liger apart from the background. Like, I just knew he was there. It took me a really long time to catch up. Obviously, mostly I was like, he wears a funny mask because... I'm a child, so I enjoyed that. But when you go back, and the bodysuit, who doesn't like that? The main thing that always struck me was the massive, massive amounts of respect. Respect to the height where Arby's tweeted, "Thank you, Liger." Did we all see this?
Mm-mm.
Arby's posted a "Thank you, Liger" tweet, which...
Did they do one of those ketchup drawings?
Yes, it was very beautiful. I've never wanted an Arby's in my life, but suddenly I was like, you know what? It's 10 minutes from here. Maybe I'm being foolish.
They've got the meat.
They've got the meat and the love for Liger, just like everybody else. There's so many matches. It's like there's not even one to point you to. You could just Google it and come up with 1,000. And it was really sad. I mean, I'm going to talk about it a little bit more at the end of the show, but it was really beautiful display of respect and affection. And I was surprised that he lost, but I wasn't surprised that he lost. So, you know, Liger. Getting back into more of the main event matches, the other wizard in England is my favorite promo of all time. There's more than one wizard in England. Zack Sabre Jr. beat Sonata. Did you get a chance to look at this at all?
Oh yeah, of course. I just got handed some mail. Sorry.
Oh, fun. Is it from the Publishing Clearinghouse? Because you should open that.
You know what? Oh my God. It's a late Christmas card from Chris Jericho.
Aww.
It just showed up.
Oh, I'm still waiting for my mail. So
Irvin family Christmas card. It's a little moist, but it's here. Merry Christmas. Moist,
probably from the bubbly. Let's be honest.
Yeah, he probably wrote it in the hot tub. So,
I thought this was a great match. I mean, Zack Sabre. I mean, he's a for those that don't know, very technical. Submission machine, lack of a better term. And I love when somebody does something completely different. You know, it's kind of that style is in WWE at least is kind of often sleepy. Mm-hmm. But it was really entertaining just to see, okay, how else is he going to keep Sonata on the ground? How is he going to try to keep him on the ground? Because also Sonata has the size advantage. So that was, it was a very enjoyable match.
Yeah, I think he's a really interesting character. I think he is very good at doing the thing that we talk about in wrestling all the time, which is take your own personality and dial it up to 11. I think he does that very well. That sort of snarky, cocky British guy. That obviously being a British person, I'm like, I know 1,000 of you, but I don't know 1,000 of you in wrestling. So I think he does that really, really well. And I know a lot of people are put off by the technical style, but once you get into the rhythm of one of his matches, it's hard to look away, even when he's doing horrible things to people's fingers and the full Pete Dunne stomping. I don't care for that, but I do enjoy his matches. Next up would be our good friend Mox is back, and he retained his newly won US title against Juice Robinson. Are you a fan of the Juice? This Juice, specifically Juice Robinson, not the Juice. I understand that's not okay.
I don't like much juice. If I ever have juice, it is watered down, which is what I think of this Juice.
Oof.
not a fan. You know, and actually, I don't know if this is popular opinion or not, I never got on the Moxley train.
So I feel bad now that Hal is gone because you and I are on one mind. At least when it came to Dean Ambrose, I was never a fan. With Mox, I'm prepared to give him more of a shake. So you're still not keen?
I'm not really. I just feel like he's not reserved as far as his wrestling goes. But I just feel like his character, I understand he's a loose cannon.
That's his whole thing.
And he's got that thing. But there to me, there also needs to be, you know, every joke needs to have a punchline. before the audience can laugh or the audience can react. Yeah. And I feel like every time his promos, his wrestling, I just don't feel like there's a punchline. Like, I feel like he's always on 9 and then never just ramps up to 11 and boom, drop the mic and walk out.
That's it. He's refusing to drop the beat. He's refusing to get to the drop.
Absolutely. 0808.
He's dubstep. This is terrible.
But at least dubstep, there's a little, you know, it drops off. It's boom.
Now my day is ruined.
You know, and you know, there's some dynamic there, and I just have never really gotten the dynamics from him. Yeah. So
one thing that I think is good though is, like, even if you are, you know, you guys haven't historically been a fan of Ambrose or are still waiting for something to make you a fan of Moxley. Mm-hmm. One thing that is kind of okay is that now that he's kind of on your own, at least you can be salient in the knowledge that you're enjoying him or not enjoying him for what he wants to present versus what it was before, where it felt like a million people were doing wrong by him, I guess, or like were making him worse.
This is pure distilled Moxley. This is all Mox all the time.
And that's like, that's how it works with any art. It's like you either take to it or you don't. And at least this way, you know that it's like the art, it's the artist you can take your issue with, not like the producers who are trying to sell you something.
Oh, and I will take my issues, Julian. I will take my issue. I will not get into it again here, but I will take issue. What we will get into is Kenta's presence on this event. Began with his defeat of Haruki Goto, and obviously he then really made himself known at the end of the show, which I guess we really ought to talk about the last match before we talk about that. But have you seen a lot of Kenta's work since he's been back in New Japan at all? How are you feeling about this match versus what we saw in NXT?
I haven't. I'm going to, again, be completely honest. I am a noob when it comes to New Japan. But, of course, I remember him coming into NXT and the big hype that they gave him. I don't remember the new name that they gave him because it is not important at this point.
Poor Hideo Itami.
Oh, Hideo Itami.
Rolls off the tongue.
He got really the shit-covered end of the stick.
He really did.
Getting injured and then coming back and then getting injured again. And I don't, was it 2 injuries or 3 injuries? But it really took him out for the longest time. And that's just unfortunate. So it's nice to see him back where, you know, where he is appreciated and is understood and gotten. And shit, I mean, it looks like he's gunning for them titles. So
it really does. Which leads us nicely onto what happened to these titles in this night's event. The big match, the big deal, the double gold dash, Naito versus Okada. Who's going to become the Becky Two Belts of New Japan? Champ. And we saw Naito beat Okada. How did it make you feel, James? How did it make you feel?
It made me feel like a full-fledged New Japan fan.
That's so exciting. What was it about the match that really got you going?
Oh my god. I mean, at first it was a slow build, which I didn't mind. It didn't bother me. I love when they were, it was probably, oh my god, it was like a 45-50 minute match, which is amazing. It's amazing that they give their talent the time to showcase their ability to tell a story over that long of a match. And when they were both beating the shit out of each other on their knees with forearms, then they got up on their feet. And that was like literally 10 minutes of forearms. And I just love seeing just Okada just fucking sitting there and he just starts smiling at him, you know, just full ear to ear grin and just like, bring it on, motherfucker, you know?
No, I love this side of Okada. It's so great.
Love the storytelling of that. And without knowing much about either guy, the commentary was really great. Other than, I don't know who it was, who's the one that keeps yelling, but he kept saying, like, he'd be like, Rainmaker! And he'd hold the note out until the pin, and then, one, two, oh no, it just kept happening. That started to take me out of it.
Well, but now you know his finishing move is called the Rainmaker, right?
Yeah, like, if you didn't know before. No, it's called the Rainmaker!
You know it now. Yeah. It has 17 A's in it, right at the end. That's how you write it down accurately. No, I agree. It was fantastic. I think one of the things that they did really well in this match and in the Okada Ibushi match is there is no natural heel in Okada Ibushi, and there's no natural heel in Okada Naito. Obviously, with Jay White, it was very, very clear who the cartoon pirate villain is because they have a beard. But what they were able to do is they balanced it so carefully. There were moments in Ibushi Okada when Ibushi was fully dark Ibushi, and you're like, oh my God, is he going to go heel? Is he going to like murder Okada? And then you get Okada playing this version of his character, which again, it's just tilting the scales very delicately to being arrogant rather than just confident. And I thought he did that so, 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 so well. I really loved it. And when he put Naito face first through the table, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, like that's not a face move. I mean, it is a face move, literally, that he put his face through. Yes, really, really took those knees. I don't ever want to take a Destino. That's what I know. I feel like I could survive a Rainmaker, but I don't know about a Destino. I don't feel like it.
Is that Naito's finish, Destino?
Naito's finish is the Destino, yes. You would know it better if I went, Destino! That's how you would know I was talking about
Naito.
Yeah,
why weren't they? They got to shout all of them and give all of them a big, like, a big over the top goal, you know, if they're going to do it with one. It just seems unfair. Yeah.
It is. I mean, poor Destino's got a lot of vowels in there for you to play with, so it's unfair that you wouldn't make the most of it. Did you feel like it was the right result at the end of the day?
I thought it was great. I thought it was a great end to the story. By the end of the match, I was more of a fan of Okada.
Yeah.
And to be completely honest, the Destino at the end of the match, like I kind of got it in the earlier parts where it was effective. It took me a little bit out of it seeing Naito destroy Okada and then pick him up and expect Okada to be able to like carry him over with the Destino. That was kind of like, it's hard to bend reality that far.
I mean, they're Japanese, James. It's a very polite culture. I'm just saying they would go above and beyond. It's like, oh no, please let me rise to my feet. I have been murdered, but let me stand for you, sir. I think that makes sense. But yeah, I've always felt the same about the Rainmaker, that it's like, well, it's just kind of like a tight lariat type thing.
Yeah.
Like, would that be so bad? I mean, I love to see it when someone fully commits, like Ibushi did a couple of times, where it's like you do a full 360 and it actually takes your head off. But yeah, I've never loved it as a finishing move.
Naito definitely sold the Rainmaker also. But yeah, yes. The Destino is not my favorite finisher of the night.
It's great to say, though. It feels very
still
satisfying.
Still a hell of a match. Hell of a match. He is tapping titles. Yosoyo.
Yay! We got it in! Yes, he's tapping titles all by himself.
Yeah.
He's
just in
his room.
He
got it in, and so did Naito.
There's a market for that. Yeah.
Yeah, there is. It's true. I'll pay. But of course, there's no room for a happy ending here, as someone decided to crash the celebration.
Hey. Jesus! No!
Oh, what the hell?
That's Kenta! That's Kenta!
You son of a bitch!
That's Kenta! Yes!
That's bullshit.
How dare you! It's perfect and you know it!
One thing I did see, like with Kenta, you know, everybody's super excited about him. And whenever somebody's doing something really cool outside of WWE, what does everybody got to say? Like, oh my gosh, there are so many people. Kenta's proof that people are just wasting the prime of their careers in WWE. And I'm going to say, guys, I don't think you can really say that they didn't try to do something with him. And it was just a long string of bad luck where he got hurt and then he got hurt again. And then other people had kind of carried the momentum of the brand in his absence. And he was kind of lost in the shuffle. And they tried to do a few things with him and it just didn't work out. And they mutually agreed to part ways. I don't think that there was anything.
I don't think it was malicious. I don't think they maliciously ruined him. I think the timing was wrong. Mm-hmm. He was their first big sign. It was supposed to be him and Finn would come in, sorry, and it would be this big moment that they had made this huge move. I think changing his name was a huge mistake, but that's when they were still doing that.
Yes, I don't think if he was to come in today, I'm not sure they would do the same thing because now they're
and he had that whole moment. I'm sure everyone remembers that moment on the ramp where he came out and said, like, I was Kenta, but now I am Hideo Itami. And they acknowledged it, and to acknowledge it made it even stranger than to not acknowledge it. Mm-hmm.
100%, yeah.
But still, I'm pumped to see this. I am very excited to see him in this position. This is a very exciting moment for fans of Kenta to see him going after the double gold.
I wholeheartedly agree. I thought it was great. I definitely knew something was going to happen by the link that Julian sent me to watch, and saw that saw that the match was over, but there was still 15 or 20 minutes left on the stream. After all that he went through the WWE circuit, to see him get this sort of comeuppance, I mean, and to be honest, I haven't seen what he's been up to in New Japan and the work that he's been doing, but it's nice to see. And I mean, always a run in at the end and just completely destroying the champion's, you know, hard fought victory and making it about you.
Yeah.
Is that's one hell of a way to advance the storyline.
In this moment, in this, it's not just the end of any match. It's the end of the main event of two nights of Wrestle Kingdom. It is a historic uniting of titles. It was such a huge deal. And not that long ago, you would not have seen this kind of storyline in New Japan. They did not go in for shenanigans. They did not go in for cheating. I thought it was very telling as to where it puts us in the future of New Japan and where they see their storylines and their product going. Also, I think he's such a great character to bring into this. He's very much been a cheeky, not even cheeky, but like a bit of a cocky heel, but arrogant in a way that he doesn't deserve. That's been his character. It's been kind of like, well, I'm back now and I'm better. His first t-shirt when he came back said Takeover. It was a Takeover t-shirt. Kenta Takeover, which is amazing, because he's like, you know where I've been, you know what I've been doing, well, now I'm back and now I'm gonna run things and I deserve to. And he's been very entitled. That's been his character, which I think was really exemplified here. So is there anything we haven't talked about re-Wrestle Kingdom that you would like to mention now, James?
I definitely really enjoyed Wrestle Kingdom. This has opened my eyes to another more wrestling.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's definitely nice. It's nice to have more alternatives with the way that, you know, the shows are playing out for Raw and SmackDown. They're kind of being the redheaded stepchildren of wrestling right now. And that's kind of tough, you know, the thing that you've kind of invested the most of your time and money into, letting you down at this point and kind of turning its back on you. But it's nice to have found something that is pure wrestling. And I feel like they know that there's a language barrier in their audiences, and they don't zero in so much on the storytelling with words as much as the storytelling with wrestling. And that's what I love most about wrestling, is the performance of it. You know, I'm a performer, I'm a singer and actor and voice actor. And so it's all about the performance, and the thing that people feel is the way that you portray it. It's beautiful to see, and it was really enjoyable.
Not a single cook storyline or failed marriage attempt the whole night.
Oh God, just don't.
I'm going to do the wrap up. I'm so excited. If you've got any thoughts on what we've discussed so far, connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram via the links in our show notes. We will be back after this with three things from the wrestling world that you should know about. This is Tights and Fights.
Hi, I'm Janet Varney, and like many of you, brand new sentient robots excluded, I used to be a teenager. In fact, just about all of my friends were, too, including folks like comedian Danielle Radford.
And of course, all of us, you take on that theater accent, and our teacher would say, no, that isn't how people talk.
Right.
Don't do the super theater kid accent. It's the worst. But so when I was doing theater in high school, of course, I immediately was talking about being in the theater.
So join me every week on the JV Club podcast, where I speak with my favorite women artists, innovators, and humans as we reminisce about the past and how it led us to becoming who we are. Find it every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Bites. I'm Lindsay Kelk, and I'm joined today by
James Durbin.
Just James Durbin, which is so exciting. I know, and yet this is how we are going to end the show, by sharing some of the joy of wrestling with you. This is kind of the three count.
One, two, three.
James, guess go first at Tights and Fights. What would you like to put over?
I got to put over the New Day pod. Feel the power, baby. I love the New Day. And I just love, I love hearing about backstage stories and the ideas that happened first before, you know, the final product. And so the New Day guys were talking about their what ended up being their Bootios entrance at WrestleMania 32.
Yes.
And what the original plan that they wanted, that they pitched to the powers that be, was for them to come out of a like a 70s, like a sleazy 70s van that's shaped like a unicorn. And on the back has two big old butt cheeks. And then they come down the ramp. It opens up, like the ramp opens up or the butt cheeks open up or something to make it so that they can fit through. I don't know. Do we have a clip?
We get to WrestleMania 32, and this is the one where we come out of the Bootios box.
Yes.
The original idea that we actually had for the entrance was kind of insane too.
Yeah.
So we haven't done this, and hopefully we'll get to at some point, is we wanted to get a big van and have it look like a unicorn, but the back doors are taken off and they've been replaced with huge butt cheeks. That are on springs, so when the van is moving, the butt cheeks are shaking, and then once it gets onto the end of the ramp, hey, it fits in. Essentially, the cheeks open up, and then we come out of the van on tricycles with all our unicorn stuff on, just having a great time. And so we explain this to Triple H, to Paul, he who shall be named.
Yeah, we'll name him.
And he says, I mean, that's great, and we can look into it if you want to, or you guys can come out of a big box of Bootios like the toys. And we were like, yes, sir. Please.
We don't like to do that. Right.
You know, one of the things that I really love about that story is because I've heard Xavier say it at least like three or four times across various like episodes where he's been interviewed on and things that he's been a part of. And I swear he adds like three or four things that were supposed to be in that entrance that he didn't add the previous times that he talked about it. Because I
welcome to wrestling, Julian.
But I think that I'm choosing to believe that he genuinely had all of those things in the presentation. And they were, and it just speaks to how complicated he wanted it to be before they were like, how about a cereal box?
Like, you know, we're trying to sell some cereal right now, Xavier, so that's real cute, but like, sit down and be quiet. Yeah. Oh, no. They're a gift. They're a gift to us all the time.
His Xavier's off season. That's also in the... in my one.
Yeah.
Hope in my one. In my one for the three count.
Hope you're enjoying playing video games, Austin.
I feel strongly that he is, so I don't think it's anything we need to worry about. This week, I am putting over something from Wrestle Kingdom. Would you believe it? I mean, I watched a lot of wrestling this week. It was a lot of Wrestle Kingdom and the New Year's Dash. It was a lot of Japanese wrestling. I'm not saying my mental health is entirely well, but the moment I want to put over was the Jushin Thunder Liger retirement ceremony. If you've got 10 minutes to just like really rejoice in how important wrestling is to people and what real respect for wrestlers looks like, go and check this out. It's at the beginning of the stream for the second day, for day two. And it's just a really, really beautiful moment to watch wrestlers showing each other such a huge amount of respect and to see so many of them openly emoting. Like, how many of those guys were crying in that ring? I just thought it was a really, really wonderful moment and something a lot of wrestling fans would benefit from seeing. Active emotions out there in the world. Do you have anything for us, Julian?
Yeah, I do. In keeping with Liger supposedly stepping away from the ring, and I say supposedly because I've been damaged by years of wrestling. Because
did you not see Mrs. Liger come out? Did you not see Baby Liger come out? I mean,
he'll leave them at home and go do another match at some point, knowing how wrestlers work right
he
now.
He has left them at home for so long.
My favorite thing about it, like all of the emotions and stuff were great that you talked about, Lindsay, but one of my favorite moments that a friend of the show, Emily Pratt, shouted out on her Twitter was the press conference afterwards where Liger is with Tiger Mask and somebody else whom I do not recognize. And Tiger Mask in the subtitle says, "It makes me so sad that I won't get to see you anymore." And then Liger just looks at him and says, "You can always see me. What will this change?" So he's basically like, I'm not dead. Like, I'm going to see you next
time.
Like, what are you freaking out about? But it's, I thought
we're
that was
still
a really
neighbors.
Funny moment. Yeah.
This is what I would like to see, a buddy comedy with the two of them possibly going on a road trip. And that's what I want to see them do together next.
Yeah, I love, let's just keep it in perspective, man. I'm going to be here next week. Like, we can see each other whenever.
Oh, like, oh, maybe he's not allowed anymore. Maybe that's after you do a Japanese retirement ceremony. Maybe you're just banned from the building. I mean, I have no idea.
He has to, like, commit seppuku after he's taken off his mask.
Oh. Did you all see the photos? There were some photos released, portraits of Liger looking through a window. So he's kind of backlit, silhouetted through a window, and there's one with his mask on.
I did
And
see
then
that.
The second is with his mask removed.
Yes.
It's very powerful. Yeah. It's just everything. It made me feel all of the feelings, which is what I love about my wrestling. So, yay. That does it for this episode of Tights and Fights, if you can even believe it. This week, your hosts were James Durbin and Hal Lublin, along with me, Lindsay Kelk. James, do you have anything that you would like the audience to know about? Where can they find you? Where can they chat to you?
You can find me at Instagram.com/JamesDurbinOfficial, Facebook.com/DurbinRock, Twitter.com/DurbinRock. As Big E says, I don't need your follows.
I do.
I'd like them. JamesDurbinOfficial.com, and check out my music. I appreciate it. I'm working on a new album and just signed a new record deal. So that will be coming out hopefully third quarter, August, September 2020.
Ooh, that's very exciting. Will we be possibly seeing you on the road?
Yes, absolutely seeing me on the road. I will be on all of it.
Yay!
The whole road.
You're doing
the full circuit. You know, there's been some fun times on the road linking up coincidentally with wrestling schedules, so we'll see if we can match them intentionally.
This is very exciting. I'm pleased to know this. If you would like to chat to me, I am again all over the internet at Lindsay Kelk, and please buy my books because I need to live. That would be wonderful. They're very good. Our producer and introducer is the seducer Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we are putting him over for that. Go and say hi to Mike. He is also on the internet. I know he would appreciate it. Keep up with us all week long on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Links to all of our social media are in the show notes, so go check them out. If you love what we do, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, and please share us with all your friends. We want more friends. We're greedy for friends. We're desperate for friends.
Go buy a shirt.
Buy a shirt. We're a t-shirt company now. That's all we are. Thank you so much to the Max Fun members who make this show possible. And we will be back next week for more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.